Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host.
Today's guest is Fenton Joseph. Fenton is a full-time creative professional working at the intersection of music, web design, and visual media. With a passion for storytelling through sound and design, he brings ideas to life in ways that feel both intentional and effortless. Whether crafting immersive digital experiences, shaping brand identities, or producing music that resonates, Fenton's work is rooted in clarity, connection, and creativity. He also never turns down a good brownie. Enjoy the show. All right. I had to wait like 3 years for this, Fenton Joseph, but I am so happy to have you on, my friend.
A pleasure is all mine. Timing, God's timing is perfect.
Absolutely. It was meant to be today. And I always start this by thanking the individual who introduced us. And he probably doesn't even remember he did this because he's got ADHD like crazy. But Oscar Capel. Thank you for suggesting that I watch Fenton's podcast, because that's how I met Fenton. So Oscar, good job, my friend. It was a calling, man. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I always wonder why would I want certain people on this show? And Fenton, you are like the epitome of the person who I have on, and I'll tell you why. In life, and most of us can resonate with this, that we're taught that when we're young that life is a straight path. It's life is linear. There are certain things, if you do, you will succeed, whatever your definition of success is. And A plus B plus C, you know, you're born, you crawl, then you go to preschool and high school and college and you get married, have kids, all this kind of stuff, right? In that order. I did all that stuff and stuff happened to me. So life's not linear. It is until it's not. That external circumstance kind of derails it, right?
Right.
And you've had that circuitous route and so have I. And so with that, we always have to make a decision on when adversity is right in front of us. And I really think there's three types of men. See what you think about this. So you have some men have a ton of blind spots. They can't see a thing around them. Mm-hmm. And they just figure, I'm on autopilot. This is my life. It's the way it is. And on their deathbed, they got regrets. But then there's a second man number two, who's got a much more heightened self-awareness and notices, doesn't have as many blind spots, but yet he sees the adversity as barriers, right? Life is doing this to me. I'm the victim. You know, it's my wife's fault for the divorce. It's my boss's fault for getting fired. It's the way I had lived for a long time. And then on the deathbed, those regrets are a ton because you noticed them. You didn't do anything about it. Mm. Fenton, you're man number three. And I believe I am too. And that's the man I have on this show. Man number three has a more heightened self-awareness than man number two. And man number three is sick and tired of being sick and tired and realizes finally that there's a better way to live, more control, that life is doing this for me, not to me, that this is not a barrier, this adversity. It's an opportunity to take charge of my life and become a stronger man. That's you, Fenton Joseph. So do us a favor, go as far back as you need to, my friend, for that defining moment. That tap on the shoulder, the whisper in the ear, or like I needed, the 2x4 upside my head, that shook your core and said, no more. I'm doing things different.
I was in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in the mortgage industry. This was shortly after my parents had gotten divorced. I was living with my mother and my little brother in an apartment. Mm-hmm. And life wasn't going the way that I thought it would. Mm-hmm. I had dreams of being a music producer. I was supposed to have been a millionaire. Like, I was supposed to have been paid. So mm-hmm. that struggle, the financial struggles, certainly were front of mind. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, I was hurt. You know, I was older when my parents split, and I thought I was okay.
Yeah.
I was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know it. the pain manifested and the sadness manifested in ways that, looking back at my life, it's very clear to me now. But at the time, I was just very frustrated. I couldn't understand why I couldn't make my life what I wanted it to be. Like you said, you're taught you do A, B, C, you eventually get to D, well, Z. But that's not quite the way it works. I have the benefit now of hindsight, understanding that the destination is pre-planned, but the route that you take to get there is not. And God gives all of us free will, and we have to make those decisions for ourselves. And the decisions that I was making at the time, I was not getting the results that I wanted to. And I like to say there was a trifecta. There were three people who came into my life. They all worked at that mortgage company. And I'll never forget them. Pam, Kiel, and Mark. These are three people. Unfortunately, I lost touch with Pam, but I still am friends with the other two. And what they did for me was they put up a mirror so that I could see the man that I was, and ultimately provided me with a framework to change who I was and become the man that I ultimately needed to be. And we'll start with Pam. Pam is a black woman. That's important because black women have a unique and uncanny ability to tell you about yourself in a way that is direct but loving and with good intent. And it took her speaking to me, telling me about myself and the type of person who I was, which was not a pleasant person, by the way. She told me, "Fenton, you're very smart. You have a lot of intellect, great wit, but you use it to cut people down." She saw the hurt in me. She saw the anger. She saw the sadness. And she saw that the words that I used, my demeanor, all those things stemmed from a place of hurt. And that if I could change that, maybe I could do some good in the world instead of doing the bad. Apparently, I was doing bad. And when I look back at it, I
Interesting.
realize what she meant. I
Yeah,
wasn't
at
a
the
happy
time you're
person.
doing it, you don't realize it when you're in the weeds, yeah.
Sure, I wasn't a happy person.
Oh,
I was
man.
angry. I was
Yeah.
angry. I was probably depressed, but never got, clinically diagnosed.
Yeah.
And so that was the first thing. I said, I don't know who, why is this lady telling me these things? But we sat next to each other, our desks were next to each other, and she got to know me, and that's what she told me.
Okay, good.
And then
Yeah, that's great.
I met Mark. Mark was a happy guy. Happy in a way that I wished I could enjoy life the way that he did. Nothing seemed to get to him. He had his ups and downs in life, but nothing seemed to bother him. And I remember he played a lot of Bob Marley. He enjoyed marijuana occasionally. I'm not putting any last names out there. He enjoyed marijuana, and he always just seemed to be in a good place. So Pam let me know, you're not in a good place. Mark showed me you can be in a
It
good
can
place.
be.
There's
Oh,
a
I love
life out there where you can be content,
it.
and you can have punches, but you can roll with those punches, and it doesn't have to ruin your day and ruin your life. And most importantly, you don't have to ruin other people's day
It's
because of how
important.
you're living. And then I met Kiel, and Kiel introduced me to, I would say, she told me about Jesus. She told me about Jesus. She ministered to me, she evangelized, and she let me know that this is the path to get to the life that you want. For me, I tried so hard to make my life what I wanted it to be, and I failed. And I came to a place in life where I said, okay, God, You're supposed to be all powerful, right? That's what they say. That's what this person's saying about you. And you're saying that if I believe in your son Jesus, and if I confess my sins and I believe that he's the risen savior, that you're going to handle everything, right? That's the deal here. Well, I was so tired and so hurt and so fed up with my life. I said, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. And I did. And I have the benefit of saying that there was an instant change inside of me. When I gave my life to Christ, I felt an instant change. There was a relief. The burden had been lifted off of my shoulders. And I think for me, there was just, as a young person, you know, when you go through things that, you know, that I've gone through, you need help. And there's no one to help you. I found my help in Christ. And so, how many years later? Let's see. I was 25 when I got saved. I'm 43 now. So almost 20 years later, you know, I've spent those years continuing to develop that framework of dependency, which doesn't sound, you know, positive, because I know dependency is like a weird thing for people, but depending on God
Well,
through my
that's
faith,
different.
right? Having meaningful and supportive relationships with friends and family who have my interests, my best interests at heart, being able to depend on them. No man is an island. And I had to learn that. You know, at this point, I take help any opportunity I can get. I'm not a proud man. I used to be. At this point, I realize, you know what? I've got nothing to prove. And I'm sure there's other questions that you want to ask, so I'll just leave this quick story
No,
just
this
to
is
kind of
great.
show the change in mentality that I've had. During the Christmas season, I took my family to Manhattan to go see the tree at the Rockefeller Center. And we had a baby, so we have a stroller. And we're trying to get back to our destination. You have to get on the subway, but we can't find the elevator entrance. And so we asked some police officers if they know where the elevator entrance is. They actually didn't know where it was, which I thought was funny, but that's okay. So the cop says, "Would you like me to help you take the stroller down the stairs?" And I had this vision in my head of, like, you know, me, I need help, you know, from another man to lift the stroller up and take the stroller down the stairs. Like, you know, I'm not old. I can pick a stroller up. You know, I turned around, I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I will
For
take
you.
the help, sir. Thank you very much." I said to him, I said, "I have nothing to prove. I'm a man. I got nothing to prove.
I love that.
I need to depend on others."
I love it.
And I've been blessed because I have stopped making everything about me and my ability and my ego. And I've opened up myself to receive from others.
That is huge because many of us aren't open, haven't learned how to receive. We're not taught how to receive, right? We're told give, give, give. But part of healthy giving is healthy receiving. And I'm thinking that, you know, in order for you at 25 to have a paradigm shift, a shift in your mindset, shift in everything, you needed to be willing and able, right? You were able all the time, I'm sure. It's the willingness. And subconsciously, you were willing and you were probably giving off this energy to Pam that she said, he's ready to hear this. And I bet you it's God who put her there, right? And then when you realized that that's how you were perceived, and then you see Mark all happy, I love the way that is. Pam says, this is how you are. Mark says, this is how you could be. And Cattell, was it Cattell?
Kiel.
Kiel says, and this is how you can get there. And
Because I
that's
didn't want to be a
real.
weed head. That wasn't
No,
my
well,
thing.
no. So I, you can be happy without being a weed head. But, you know, everybody has their vices. Jesus
Everybody.
can be your vice. There you go. But no, I love that story, Fenton. And you know, it's. it's a journey that we all can follow. We control our journeys. And yes, it takes a while. And a lot of it depends on, you know, what we absorb growing up. So thank you for sharing that, the vulnerability there. I love that because it's a lesson for everybody. So now you're now 26, 27, this new Fenton Joseph who now found Jesus and is now going to follow the path of what he wants you to do. What happened next? Did you stay in the mortgage industry or did you go pursue your passion for music production and all that?
It's a good question. Music stayed at the forefront. Shortly after, I think it was 2010, I think I left the mortgage industry and I co-founded Ronin Applied Sciences, which was a microphone company. The first black-owned microphone company.
Ever.
And I did that with my music production partner. You know, he had the idea to open up our microphone and put better parts in it and see if he could make a better mic. I was like, absolutely not. It's the only one we have and we don't have money for a new one. So
that's
no.
Awesome.
And he stuck with the idea and he said, well, you know, we can make one. And so we, you know, we went down that rabbit hole, which was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in my life to this day.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I learned so much about manufacturing and product design and branding and, you know, a lot of the things that I do today in my professional career.
Right.
You know, I was able to do it because I learned firsthand how to build a company from scratch.
Right. Right.
You know, so that was a great experience. And I would say that, you know, it wasn't too long after that, that I met my wife and, you know, once that happens, it's all
beautiful. Beautiful.
The right person, it's all uphill. You know, but
that's
I would say
key,
that
the right person. Yep. You found the
gotta
right.
Be the right person.
Yeah.
You know, most of the mess in my life took place, you know, before the age of 30.
Yeah.
Some of it took place after I got saved. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah. No, it happens. It's life.
Yeah.
It's how you handle it is different. The difference.
When I say that there was an instantaneous change, I was careful to say inside of me.
Inside, but not always the behavior.
But I'm living in this flesh, this body. And, you know, there are things that I did even after I gave my life to Christ.
Yeah.
Some people have the benefit of this totally instant behavior change.
Right.
That wasn't me.
No.
It's called sanctification. It's a process. And it never stops.
Right.
I'm not perfect to this day, and I never will be.
Right.
You know, I'll continue to make mistakes, but the desire to change my life, live in a way that's different than I did before, well, that's called repentance, and that's a daily thing that we have to do. You know, so I acknowledged that I was on a new path, that I was going to make mistakes, and that it was okay. And I think that grace for myself is something that a lot of men in particular need to learn how to give themselves. You have to have grace.
Yes.
We're all trying to figure this thing out. None of us have been here before.
No.
We don't have an instruction manual.
No, well, certainly
you know,
not.
There's, you know, there's the Bible and, you know, depending on what you believe, right? There's the Torah and it. So, I mean, we have those instructions, but in a practical day to day, I will even admit it can be hard to fit what's in here.
Yeah.
Sorry. What do you call it? There we go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a Bible.
Okay.
It can be hard to squeeze what's in there.
Yeah.
Into our day to day lives.
It's a challenge.
Okay. Like to the letter.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is challenging, and we have to acknowledge that and say, okay, you know what, I made some mistakes today, it's okay. Tomorrow I'm going to try to be better.
Absolutely.
That's it.
So that's deep stuff, man. I love this. So let that sink in, audience, and now we're gonna follow Fenton on his journey, because now the microphone, how'd it turn out? Was it awesome?
Oh, the microphone was incredible.
I love it.
Absolutely. Love it. Yeah. The business blew up.
Awesome.
Like the Hindenburg. But again, it was one of those things. You talked about, you know, this taking the circuitous route.
Yeah.
You say, well, you know, you start a business and it's going to be successful. And it's like, no, actually doesn't work that way for most people. As it turns out, and I found this out after the fact, most people start a business and it fails.
Yes. Yes.
And the next business that they start fails. Next and the next and the next. And it takes a lot of different at-bats before you come across that successful endeavor.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been blessed that I can count, I think, on two hands, the different businesses that I've had. And I finally, you know, found something that works for me, you know, which is Olive Branch Digital. But, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot as a man when the business went down because I had investors. And I'd never been in that situation.
It ended
before.
Up going down, the microphone business?
Yeah.
What happened? What happened?
Oh, we bled out money.
Oh.
I'll give the short version.
Yeah, short version. Then we'll go into what you're doing now. Yeah.
We were like the government. We spent more money than we took in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It happened.
And part of that, our deficit was crazy. You know, part of that is just learning pains, you know, growing pains. You know, you have to know that as a business, cash flow is king.
Yeah.
And so almost all of your motivation, you know, behind your actions has to be directed at creating cash.
Yeah.
Cash solves a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a business that's not profitable, but if you have good cash flow, you can stay in business for a really long time. We had cash flow issues, and we had to just get a bit more mature and understand that there were parts of the business that we shouldn't have focused on, things like R&D.
Yeah.
You know, we're a product company, a technology company. You have to constantly advance the status quo.
Right.
That requires money. That's R&D. Well, it's hard to pour into R&D when you've got, you know, orders that need to be paid for, and you know, you have marketing to do, and you've got all these other expenses. There's only so much money to go around because cash flow. You know, so that taught me a lot as a business person, but again, it taught me a lot as a man because I had to face my investors.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? Things didn't work out, and I was paying back money up beyond the time that I got married. Like, I got married and brought that debt into the marriage. But as a man, that's what I got to do. I gave my word. I signed on the dotted line and said, I'm going to borrow this money. I'm going to pay you back with interest. And if it doesn't work out, you're still going to get your money back. And I had to do that.
Yeah, of course.
So there were things about that business that went way beyond products and mics and making money. And there were just life lessons, you know, so I'm grateful. And I took that and turned it into something else, which is Olive Branch Digital.
All right. I want to get into that. First, I love the name of your company. Just give us the short version of how you came up with the name.
A God gave me that name.
Okay.
It's called Olive Branch Digital because in the Bible, Noah goes out in the ark, you know, and it rains. And after the rain subside, he sends out a dove. The dove comes back with an olive branch in its mouth. And that's how they knew that the waters have subsided and that it was safe to go out. And there were different businesses that I had, including the microphone company, that God had to wash away.
Yeah.
And he gave me something new. And so I knew Olive Branch Digital would be a blessing. And I made that, I incorporated the LLC in 2014.
Okay.
And so this is actually year 11. December will make 11 years.
Congratulations. Congratulations. All right. So tell the audience what like problem you solve for people in Olive Branch Digital.
Sure. So I call myself a creative professional. In Olive Branch Digital, I specifically design and host websites.
Okay.
So my responsibility is to give my clients a digital platform so the world can see how awesome they are. Now, excuse me, that sounds fancy, but I believe that that's what I actually do and have done in every single business and career that I've had.
Right.
I help the world see how awesome other people are. Think about it. Microphones, what does it do? It captures your voice in the most realistic and beautiful way possible so that the world can hear how awesome you are.
Right.
I used to do customer service, client relations management, brand management. It was all centered around letting the world see how awesome the business is. All my marketing is about showing the world how awesome you are. So here's my chief fun officer.
Oh, this is awesome.
Branch Digital.
I Hi,
Doesn't want to look at the camera.
Giselle. Hi, sweetheart. Sweetheart. Hi, honey. Oh,
She
she
wanted to
is
come up.
beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, folks, audience, when I met Fenton the first time, we had our first Zoom call, and Fenton has an old daughter older than Giselle. Her name is Bella, and I remember seeing Fenton look over to his left, and he's mouthing, "Not yet. I can't yet." I'm like, "What are you talking to?" He goes, "It's my daughter. She wants to give me a kiss or a hug." And I'm like, "Do it, man. Do it." So I got to meet Bella for the first time, and now I get to meet Giselle for the first time. Beautiful. God bless
Thank
you,
you.
Fenton. God bless you, man. So I've seen your websites that you've helped people build, and unbelievable. Now, I want to learn
Thank
about
you.
your passion, though, of music production. We didn't get into whether that journey happened or what. Tell us a little about that.
Again, going back to the beginning, life is a circuitous route, and where you think you're going to be is not usually where you land. So today, I'm very blessed to still be a professional musician.
Oh, wow.
It just looks a little different than, staying out in the studio till 5 in the morning because I have a family. These days, I create instrumental music for some of the world's biggest brands like Ford and Shopify and Google. And I do that through an agency that I work with
Great.
called Marmoset.
Okay.
They're out in Portland, Oregon.
Beautiful.
So we create, they'll send me a brief project for a client. I'll create the music. I'll work with an executive producer on their end, go back and forth until we have the final product that's ready for the client, and out into the world it goes. I also have my own website, which is olivebranch-music.com, where, I do the same thing but on my own. So I have the benefit of sitting here, being able to keep an eye on my
I
daughter,
love that.
make music, make websites,
That's
and
beautiful.
it's not the life that I thought I was going to have, but I wouldn't trade
No.
it for the world.
No, absolutely no trade whatsoever. So, wow, I mean, I could talk to you forever. All right, well, I want to the audience certainly has captured the essence of Fenton Joseph, and gang, you're going to want to get in touch with him. So, best way to get in touch with Fenton is LinkedIn, Fenton Joseph, or his website. It's olivebranchdigital.com. Olivebranchdigital.com. Your daughter's beautiful. You guys got to go onto YouTube and watch this, because listening to it, you got to see Giselle. She's so adorable.
Thank you.
Okay, Fenton, here we go. Two final questions before we head out. I'm going to give you the opportunity. You are sitting down with 7 to 10 year old Fenton, and you want to give him advice about life. What are you going to tell him?
I would tell 7 to 10 year old Fenton that your life is not your fault. It's not for you to fix. One thing that I grew up with, I think, was this feeling that I had to be in control, that I had to fix things. Part of that stems from the fact that I wasn't in control of a lot of the chaos, living in our house. I love my parents. I have a great relationship with my parents is to this day, but it is what it is. The things were a bit crazy. And so I had a lot of trauma surrounding that I wasn't aware of as a kid. And I would just say, hey, little man, this isn't your doing. Okay. You've got your own life to live and you just have to be true to yourself. And I would also tell him it's okay to speak up for yourself. I wasn't somebody who would assert myself most of my life. I am these days, and people, they don't even believe me when I say that because I'm so outspoken these days. But I suppressed a lot of things, again, because of the environment. And kids, well, I'm not going to talk about other kids. That's my answer to Fenton.
I love that. I love that. Okay, I'm gonna have you switch hats. You are now sitting down with young Fenton, the young businessman, the young entrepreneur, and you want to give young Fenton some business advice. What are you going to tell him?
Focus on one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. That's beautiful.
I have the benefit of being multi-talented, and I don't say that to boast. God has given me various gifts, multiple gifts. And the thing is, there's only so much time in the day. The mistake that I made is not having gone deep enough with one gift before I started to develop others.
I love it. Yeah.
So I think, you know, some things,
Yeah.
not you would still be here, but I think some things might have been a little different. And I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I'm still learning
Yeah.
how to do that. I still enjoy doing a lot of stuff because I'm
Yeah.
passionate about lots of different gifts that I have. So
Yeah. You know, that's common. That, thank you for that. And that's common for men. I was reading a research article to determine the differences between men and women with close friends. And very few men in our country have close male friends. The way it was depicted in the research study, they said men have more of a quantity of friends, but it's left and right, like it's not deep. And women have very few close friends, but it's deep. They grow the roots of the tree up, and men have like 75 trees that are like baby size kind of thing.
Right.
It's like we don't go deep in our relationships. We expand them, and women go deep in their relationships. And
Yeah.
I equate that to like men address symptoms of their issues, and women go deep into the core issues. And I think men nowadays, we need to kind of man up in a different way and get a little deeper because we'll be stronger for it. It's a strength, not a weakness. So you hit the head on the nail on the head there, my friend.
And I just want to respond to that. I'm going to give her own microphone so she can talk here
Wow.
again.
Giselle, you got your own microphone.
So the thing is, you're 100% right. Men don't like to go deep.
No.
I'm not afraid to go deep. And I think I never have been. And that's been very helpful because for me, I get to the root. I don't want to put on band-aids because I don't like pulling off band-aids. Okay? I'm in pain, and then I pull the thing off, and that hurts, and I got to put another one. We're constantly ripping band-aids. No, I want to heal. I want to heal. And so it requires having difficult conversations. But men have two modes. We're either at peace or we're at war. Those are our two modalities. I'm going to fight, or we're just going to leave it alone. We agree to disagree. And what I learned was there's a third mode, which is conversation, but it requires emotional intelligence, right? You need to be able to not fly off the handle because that's never helped a conversation ever, right? You need to be able to sit and be quiet and listen actively and intently. It's hard to do. Again, that requires emotional intelligence. Okay, I'm gonna stop these thoughts that I have swirling around in my head, the things that I want to say, and I'm just gonna listen because maybe they have something that I need to hear.
Yeah,
It's not
absolutely.
just about me, right?
Two
We have to stop.
ears, right? Two ears and one mouth. Listen twice as much as
Tell
we
that to my
speak.
I tell that to my kid
There's a
today,
reason why God gave us two
right?
ears and one mouth.
So we have to stop centering ourselves and kind of pull back a bit. Like you said, the first man is the one who's got a lot of blind spots. I can be talking to you, looking right at you in your eyes and have blind spots and not see you and not hear what you're saying because
Absolutely.
I've centered myself. All I see when I look at you is me. Right? So, you know, that's something that I've had a lot of practice with. I'm not boasting. I think I've been able to have a lot of practice doing that, and I have had those close friends, male friends, that have not judged me when I needed to cry, when I was vulnerable and weak, okay, and allowed me that space to work through my feelings, to, like I said, to cry and blubber and be incoherent, you know, and they lifted me up. And that's so important for men. And a lot of us don't have that. I'm begging you, men, and then I'll shut up. Find a man in your life who you can confide in and who will make that space for you to just be a puddle. We're too strong. We try too hard to be too strong. I don't want to be strong.
But
Jake?
I believe you are strong when you show your emotions. I think it's ignorance when you don't. The and
The fake strong.
think strong.
No,
Now,
fake is what I was saying. Fake strong. You're not actually
fake.
strong.
Okay,
As
no.
I should put it in air quotes. I
Air
don't want to be
quotes.
strong.
Strong.
I don't want
I gotcha.
strong being quiet and stoic and nothing bothers me. I
Yeah,
don't
I
want to be
gotcha.
that type of strong.
No, that's different. No, that's not a healthy strong, I don't think. What I want people to know, and exactly what Fenton said, is we can heal ourselves from within. And how do we do that? You release toxins. There are actual toxins in our tears that get released, healing us from within. And when we ask for help and we share our story, we're releasing emotional toxins. You can look this up. And when we do release it, it's all the good hormones start to flow inside of us. So, realize that you can take care of yourself by just being yourself. Don't listen to what other people say you should be doing. Well, Fenton Joseph, I want to thank you for coming on, coming into my life. Thank you, Oscar Capel. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend. You're a wonderful human being. And say hi to your wife for me and hug Bella and Giselle for me. Cherish those three women, all right?
I can do all of that.
There you go. All
Thank
right, my
you.
friend.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Everybody out there, please take care of yourselves.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. I'd like you to answer this question. Are you living the life you want to live, or are you living the life others want you to live? I'd like you to think about that for a second, because I strongly suggest you live the life you want to live. If you want to learn more about what I stand for and my services and how I'm able to help many men get out of their own way, please go to my website at www.profitcompassion.com. Feel free to also email me at drew@profitcompassion.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Take care of yourself and choose to write your own story instead of letting others write it for you.